Thank you, sir.
We just read in Nehemiah, and that's a book about building. And on our church letterhead, when I came here back in 1978 to be the senior pastor of Scranton Revival Baptist Church, they called me in September and started first Sunday in October. And we had on the letterhead, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," Matthew 16:18. And then we've taken the theme of our church, and our theme is building lives on solid foundations. Building lives on solid foundations. Good to see you, Marlene. You made it. Amen. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." When we were at our Sunday school class outing in Lancaster, we were there Friday morning, and we were watching a movie on the Anabaptist. And an Anabaptist leader was named Menno Simons that was mentioned. And Menno Simons and the Anabaptists said, "We don't want to just reform the Catholic Church. We don't want to reform it. We just don't want to protest it. Within it, we want to come out of it and get back to the foundations," what the Bible says. And I certainly believe that. And so, you know, we're having vacation Bible school this week. And in vacation Bible school, usually when we have Wendy Wise come and the Cool Fool, we sing that song about building your life on a solid foundation. "The wise man built his house upon the rock." You know that one? "The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down. The floods came up. The rains came down. Flood. And the house on the rock did what? Stood firm. The foolish man, on the other hand, he built his house upon the sand. And the rains come down. And the floods go up. And the house on the sand went splat." And you know, most people in this city, most people in this state, most people in this country, in this world, are building their house upon the sand. And that's the foundation of everything, the rock. And who is the rock? Well, the Bible says our rock is not their rock. The Catholic Church, their rock is the Pope. I wouldn't want to build my life on a feeble man that's getting old and falling apart and one after the other. Other people build their lives on, "I hope I've been good enough. I hope I've been a good enough person." If that's why you hope to get into heaven, I'm here to tell you that will not stand at the judgment. Okay. I will not stand at the judgment. You will not stand. You will go down and be punished for your sins in a place called hell, unfortunately. But there is one person that lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He did everything right. And that's what we need. We need to be perfect. And he lived a perfect life. But wait a minute, we've sinned. And we have to have that taken care of. Well, he took care of that too. Because he didn't just live a perfect life. He took that perfect life and he offered it as a sacrifice to God the Father. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he went to the cross. And he was nailed to a cross and he went through hell. And he cried out after it was all over and said, "It is finished." And the curtain in the temple that was separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies split in half from top to bottom. 4 inches thick, just ripped in half. And that signified that we now can go to heaven directly, not through a priest or a pope, but through through one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That is the foundation of my faith. That is the foundation of my life. Faith looks without. It looks outside of yourself. It looks away from anyone or anything else except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Have you come to that place? If not, you need to repent of your dead works. You need to repent of your self-righteousness and realize that will not get you in. And then you need to receive with the empty hands of faith the gift of God, full forgiveness, righteousness, by a gift of Jesus Christ, by putting your trust in Jesus Christ. And so we're talking about building lives upon solid foundations. But then once you are saved and once you do have that foundation, then it says in 1 Corinthians 3:10, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. The church is built upon the foundation of salvation by grace through faith. You shouldn't come and get baptized if you think baptism is going to help save you. You should get baptized because you know you're saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's a symbol of what Christ did for you, that He died and you died as far as what you were, an old man going to hell and under the dominion of sin, and you were buried as such when Christ was buried. And when Christ is raised, you're raised now to a new life. That's why you guys get out of the graveyard. Don't be in the graveyard of public school. If you can get out of it, get out of it and go to a Christian school. Don't be in the graveyard of worldly practices. Get out of that. And this morning, I want to talk about that foundation and building on that foundation. And I'm choosing as my text Nehemiah 4, verse 2. But I'm going to take the last part of verse 2 of chapter 4 of Nehemiah. And here's a question that was asked. Nehemiah was burdened of God to do a work for God and to build for God. They had built the city of Jerusalem, but it was kind of decaying again, and he wanted to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, and he also wanted to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. And so he asked the king that he worked for, his boss, for permission to go do that. And the king gave him permission to do that. And even gave him financial provision to do that. And then he had a few good men to help him that went with him about 600 miles to the west to go to Israel, to go to Jerusalem to build that city and that wall. And here's the question that the enemies said when they saw what Nehemiah was doing and the people were doing in the land of Judah. Here's what they said in verse 2 of chapter 4. It says, will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? You know what? We see a lot of churches closing in America. We see a lot of dead churches. We see a lot of deceiving churches that are doing the wrong thing. And the question is, can out of the rubbish of those kinds of things, can we build a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church on solid foundations? And the exact question they asked is, will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish? And my message to you today is, will you play your part in a church building revival? Will you play your part in a church building revival? And I'd like to take my message from Nehemiah chapter 2, Nehemiah chapter 3, Nehemiah chapter 4. And I'd like to ask you this morning, I'm talking to elementary age kids, I'm talking to teenagers, I'm talking to single adults and married adults, old and young. How about you? Will you play your part in a church building revival? And that is so important when we think about that, you playing your part in a church building revival. I was up on bus ministry helping Brother Matt's bus route. I was doing some visiting. And while I was visiting, a family a mailman came by, and the mailman had letters, and he looked at me, and then he looked again, and he said, "You're a pastor, right?" He said, "I went to your church as a kid. I went there," and I said, "Did you ride the bus?" He said, "Yeah, I rode the bus. I went there as a kid." I get that all the time. Miss Diane was up there, and somebody had known me, and I had told them about Jesus Christ. But you know what? Many people have been touched by this church, but they're not building their lives on solid foundations. They haven't had Christ as their foundation, and they're not a living stone cemented in to the local New Testament church. And the question is, will you be one of those out of the rubbish of backsliders, out of the rubbish of people that are not really saved and vain professors? Will you be one of those that will play your part in a church building revival? I was thinking about our Sunday school classes, our adult classes. We had a great time, didn't we, going on that trip? How many of you went on that trip down? That was a great time. And we took a picture of us all in front of the shady maple there. And I saw another church group was there, and then I saw our church group. And our church group, we had a big group there. Amen. I mean, it was a big group. It was awesome to see it. And I looked at that group, and I said to my wife, "We're building lives. Look at that. God's building a church here." And you can see it. You can see it. And we had a funeral and had people at Lois's funeral. And Lois went to heaven. And thank God for the church and the dinner that was done and the work that was done and all that this church has played a part in Judy's life and Lois's life, building lives on solid foundation. We're doing it. But how about you? How about you? Are you going to play your part? I remember the first time I went to a Baptist church. I was saved already, but I went to a Baptist church. I saw them carrying their King James Bible. It was Wealthy Street Baptist Church in my home city, Grand Rapids, Michigan. The pastor was Dr. David Otis Fuller, a man of God. And he's written a book on the Bible. Which Bible? And I went there and I thought, man, these people are kind of fanatical. They carry their Bible to church. You know, I was from a Protestant type church. That was a Baptist church, man. I'm here to tell you, I'm an independent, fundamental, temperamental Baptist. And I'm playing my part in building something. Nehemiah, he was burdened to build for God, and he played his part. But the question is, will you play your part in a church building revival? The Bible speaks about the foundation, but it also speaks about the rest of it. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10, he says, "For by grace are ye saved." That means you don't deserve salvation. You deserve to go to hell. But if you're going to heaven, it's by God's grace. Amen? But how is that grace received? Through faith. It's like a straw. You need a straw to suck in the drink. When I was at Shady Maple. Plug your ears, Joe. I saw milkshakes. I don't usually get milkshakes. It's been about 20 years, 30. I don't know how long it's been. But anyway, I saw that chocolate milkshake, and I got me a big cup of chocolate milkshake. And then I found a big straw. They didn't just have the skinny straws. They had the big straws. And I got a big straw, and I was sucking that in. Oh, was that good. I tell you, it's been decades. But, you know, that straw was needed to suck it in. And that's the way it is with God's grace. He gives you a straw, and that straw is faith. It's the faith in Jesus Christ, and it's of Jesus Christ, and you get saved. And it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the what? Gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That's verse 9. But what does verse 10 say? We stop there. He goes on, he says, "For ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto" what? "Good works, which he hath before ordained that ye should walk in them." Are you going to be a worker or a shirker? Are you going to do your part? The reason why this city was built and the reason why the work was built, it says in Nehemiah 4, is the people had a mind to work. They had a mind to work. And I believe that God didn't save me to sit on the premises, but to stand on the promises and to do a work for God. And I believe he saved you, and it's God's work, is teamwork. And I believe that we need a great work for God here. And the question I believe you're being asked this morning is, will you play your part in a church building revival? You see, the revival is the breath of God. God revives. The old time churches, we need the breath of God, but you need to have your sails up and you need to catch that breath of God. And will you play your part, or will you make excuses? Listen, I've heard every excuse in the book. Why I can't come to church. Why I can't go to Sunday school. Why I can't come to prayer meeting. Why I can't go to Christian school. But it boils down to this: an excuse, like Billy Sunday said, is a skin of a reason stuffed with your lie that you put in there, or the devil's lie that he puts in there to rob you of the best that God has for you. I don't want to let the devil rob me of the best that God has for me. And so this morning, the text is, will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Nehemiah 4, verse number 2. I'd like to say, number one, you can answer that yes if you have a few good men who have the vision of the man of God. That's number one. And look with me at Nehemiah 2. It says in verse 15 and 16, "Then went I up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work." He didn't need to tell all those people. You know what Nehemiah needed, Brother Matt? Just a few good men. He had God. He had the vision of God. He was the man of God. He had the call of God. And yeah, we need the man of God. Amen. We need the man of God. Every church needs the man of God. Every city needs the man of God. But I am saying what Nehemiah, the man of God, needed was just a few good men. And if you're going to play your part, I believe, in a church building revival, Brother Jesse, you're going to do it if we have a few good men who have the vision of the man of God. And Nehemiah understood that. Now, we go to the Payones for a Sunday school class outing, usually in October, I think it is. And how many have been to that bonfire out there, sponsored by the Ambassador's Sunday school class? How come we always get to let you guys come to our class events, but you never let us come to yours? No. But anyway, we get that bonfire, and I believe Brother John, because I know a little bit about starting a bonfire, I believe he gets all the wood stacked up and he does it really nice, but he then gets some paper and some sticks, and that's called kindling. And then he gets a flame and puts it on the paper, and then from the paper to the sticks and so forth. Sometimes I do paper, cardboard, then sticks, then the big wood gets going. But to start, listen to me, to start a fire, you've got to have kindling. And I am saying that we need a few good men, and those men are like kindling wood and paper that gets a fire going. I remember some years ago, our church had been devastated, and we needed a revival to get this church going again. And you say, Pastor, how do you have a church that's going and growing? I just outlive my enemies. That's the key. So I better eat better, Brother Joel. But I'm just saying to you that we were praying after a devastating time. And you know what we realized? The Jewish synagogue, to start a Jewish synagogue, do you know what you need? 12 good men. 12 good men. Hey, didn't Jesus start the whole New Testament era with 12 good men? Well, 11. And he had to replace one. But I'm just saying, we prayed for that. We prayed for 12 good men that would be saved, that would be soul winning, that would be separated, that would be stewards of their resources, that would stay under the Word of God and the man of God to do the work of God. We prayed for 12 good men. Joe, did we get that prayer answered? Yes, we did. You see, I believe that God's work is built on a few good men, first of all. You say, what about women? Aren't women important? Oh, very important. But you're not going to get the women if you don't get the men. You start with a man. Who was the first created, Adam or Eve? Oh, Adam. Jesus is the last Adam. He was a man. Nehemiah was a man. I'm saying we need a few good men, and behind every man that's a good man, there's a good woman. You say, I don't like that. Well, you bought into Satan's fib, women's lib. Sorry. It ain't in the Bible that way. I said it ain't in the Bible that way. Or is not, if you prefer. But I'm just saying that will you play your part in a church building revival, you have to start with a few good men that are saved by Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost, have the right Bible, have the right gospel, have the right commitments. That's what we need today. How about stepping up, man, and being a man? We need some men that don't have lace on their underwear that'll stand up and preach from the pulpit and belt it out. Amen. You say you preach too loud. Well, I'm just following what the Bible said in Ezekiel. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Stomp. Beat. That's what God said. That's preaching. And I'm just saying that we need a few good men that'll say amen, don't have to ask their wife, and do I have permission, honey, to say amen? My wife told me don't say amen, I'd say amen, just a spider. She knows that. She knows I love her too. I'm saying, will you play your part in a church building revival? We need a revival of masculinity, biblical masculinity. I'm not talking about a man that beats his wife. I'm talking about a man that is man enough to love his wife and sacrifice for her and lay down his life for her. Some men take that wrong when they hear that kind of preaching. And Satan knows how to play judo. He gets us going one way and the other way. We need a few good men that are like Jesus Christ. But you get a man that stands up and does something, and what do you get? And I wouldn't hire this guy for a Sunday school teacher or a Christian school teacher. But I would hire him for a president. And I did vote for him, Donald Trump. But when he tried to stand up, Hillabell stood up and got old Obama to work with her and said, we got to stop this guy. And he got the DNI, Director of National Intelligence, Brennan? Which one, Bobby? Brennan was the DNI. Thank you, Bobby. He's my go-to man on news. And then Clapper was the head of the CIA at the time. And then they said, we got a guy right in the administration. He'll go with us. His name is Comey. And Hillary was behind it all. Just like Jezebel, she was always stirring the pot for Ahab, and Jezebel was stirring the pot for Joram, her son, Jehoram. The only thing is, Jehu took out Jehoram, took out Jezebel. We need these people to be brought to justice. Trump derangement syndrome. And that's what you're going to get. That's what you're going to get when God raises up a man of God in the church. And you're going to get it because you're going to have, if you have a few good men that go with the man of God, that help the man of God, that recognize, okay, you're the man of God, I'm going to work with you, you've got God's vision, and that's the great commission of Jesus Christ to get people saved by giving the gospel, by soul winning, and then getting them baptized, and then getting them into a church and teaching them that King James Bible, the Word of God, and we're going to help you, and you get a few good men that will do that. Even Saul had that, a band of men whose heart the Lord had touched. David had his mighty men, you see. Paul the apostle had his missionary team, and some of them messed up and left and so forth. And there'll always be those men like Demas who love this present world, or who are prideful men. There's a lot of prideful men. They can't work with the man of God. And they'll go criticize, and they'll go out and do their thing, and just like Sanballat and Tobiah. But don't you be that kind of person. You be one of God's few good men. And you say, what about the ladies? Well, I like it when a man is that kind of man, and he's got a wife that loves him and follows him, respects him, submits to him, and is a godly woman. He loves her. And then the women come and work with the man of God because their husband leads them to help him to do that. That's the way it should be. I believe in building lives on solid foundations, then marriages with biblical roles, and then children. And on it goes. And that becomes a mighty church of God. And I'm just saying, will you play your part in a church building revival? Yes, if you have a few good men who have the vision of the man of God. Number two, yes, if you join those who build with him. Will you play your part in doing that which the Lord is doing here? Then you need to stay away from people that do not like it when I say, hey, we need cliques in the church. You remember Bobby Bill Bowler, the evangelist? You have his picture and you flashed him up there. You didn't plan to do it this time, but Bobby knows what I'm talking about. Bill Bowler, the evangelist, he said, we need cliques in the church. We need everybody clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. We need a pastoral staff that's doing that. We need deacons that are doing that. We need deacons' wives that are working with the deacons and so forth and so on. We need members of the church that are doing that. Clicking. And I remember I had a guy that hated it whenever I said that. If you hate that, you're not going to be part of this work. In fact, Nehemiah said to these people when he started succeeding and they decided, if you can't lick them, join them. You know that? And Nehemiah said, you have no lot nor part in this work. Do you? If you are going the wrong way, you can turn that cat around and then your fur won't be rubbed the wrong way. Will you play your part in a church building revival? Yes, if you join with those who build with him. In other words, you have a few good men. We have that here. You have women that are working with their men to help the man of God and to do the Great Commission. You have ladies like that. You ladies, you have it. You choose whether you're going to learn from those kind of ladies. The Bible said you need to do and then to teach. You've got ladies that are doing it. Somebody has a Bible study or has a church and they're not doing it, don't you sit under them. Right. You're a dummy if you do. And same with a lady. You want a lady that's doing it. And then you can learn from that lady. And you ladies have that opportunity here. You have ladies that are doing it. Thank God for them. They're doing it in the home with their husbands. They're doing it as a mother, perhaps with their children, or have done it. And they're doing it in the church to do God's work. But the Bible says the people of Tekoa, they didn't do that. It said the nobles of the Tekoites put not their necks to the work of their Lord. By the way, this isn't a man's work here. This is God's work. Scranton Revival Baptist Church is part of a movement of God that began in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. And it's still going on now. And God invites you to be part of this wind of God. Mickey said it's 200 miles an hour this morning. He gave me the weather forecast. This wind of God. Get your sails up and to let that wind blow through your life. Not your lice. You'll get that too. If you're in the work of God, you know about lice. If you have bus ministry, you know about lice. Oh boy, that was a bad slip, but it was a good one. So true, amen. I'm just saying, yes, if you join with those that build with the man of God. Now, look at Nehemiah 3 and verse 1 for that point. I want to show you that briefly here. Nehemiah 3, 1 says, then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with the brethren, the priest, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. I was in Jerusalem, saw different gates and so forth. And this Eliashib was a high priest, and he rose up with his brethren, the priest. You know what? Somebody just rises up and decides to do something for God. Oh, Pastor, I just want to build a bus route. Boy, I'd love to hear that. You know, the hardest thing is not getting a bus, is getting a man that would be a captain of the bus. If you get a captain that wants to do the job, God will give him the bus. I believe that. Men are more important than material. If you're a man, God will give you the material. Look at Nehemiah. He was the man, he got the material. And Nehemiah was the man, and he got men to work with him. And the women came along with the men. I'm just saying to you, this high priest, Eliashib, he rose up and did it. Jonathan rose up when Saul, the king, was sitting on his behind doing nothing. Jonathan rose up and his armor bearer went with him. And they went up there and caused the battle to turn around because they did their part. And I'm just saying, we need that. We need some people in the church just to rise up and say, I will do it. And I have people like that. Who is it? Miss Angela? She said, I'll wash some toys out for Vacation Bible School. We have the toys. I'll wash them. But there's too many for me to wash them all. And she asked me to ask if anybody else would match you, right? And Diane said, I will. See, you could be that person. You say, how do I start? Just be here for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. Come out on Wednesday. You say, what about my schedule? Reorient your schedule. Get everything around the work of God. Isn't the tabernacle in the middle of the camp? Get everything organized in your life. Get your life in order. You know, I have people at one time, they had their life in order, but now you can't see them for anything. Sometimes a man gets hooked up to a woman who's hooked up to the world. And that woman has no time for God, for the work of God, and that man's hooked up with her, and he's all in love with her, and she takes him right away. It's not always a woman that does that. But Satan knows how to get to a man if the woman's not right. You better get the right woman, amen? Better marry the right woman. And if you want to marry the right woman, date the right woman. I'm just saying, will you play your part in the church building revival? When this guy, Eliashib, did that, look what it says in verse 2 of Nehemiah 3. Next unto him builded the men of Jericho. And then look at the second part of verse 2. Next to them builded Zaccur, the son of Imri. And then look at verse 4. And next unto them repaired Miramoth, the son of Urijah. And then look down at the end of verse 4. And next unto them repaired Zadok. And then verse 5. And next unto them. Hey, you know what? Ministry is addictive. And it's also contagious. Thank God when you see a family like this guy's family serving the Lord. Or that guy's family serving the Lord. Because that becomes addictive. And you become addictive. I got addicted to the work of the Lord by hanging around with a guy named Charlie Ware in college. And he was all business. And when I wasn't in the Lord's business, you couldn't hang around Charlie and be that way. It just wasn't that way. His picture's right out there. He became the first pastor of this church. And why I'm here is I got too close to Charlie Ware, who was too close to God. And then my wife is here because she got too close to me, who got too close to Charlie Ware, who was too close to God. And I'm just saying, it's contagious. Chapter 3, you read the whole chapter this afternoon. Next unto him, next unto him, next unto them, next unto them, next unto them. And that's the way it is in the church. And we need to have more workers, more bus workers, more Sunday school workers, more soul winning workers. You say, that sounds tiring. You've got all eternity to rest from your labors. You only have about 70, 80 years of good, strong service. In my case, 120. I don't know. But you only have a few years of service. Why not take advantage of it? And others will get involved who are younger and who help out when you can't do all that you could do because you're doing all you can do at your age. Gotta raise up more. I'm just saying, will you play your part in church building? I hope so. Yes, if you have a few good men, and we do, who have the vision of the man of God. Secondly, yes, if you join with those who build with him. And then thirdly, yes, if you persevere through opposition. Go to chapter 4 of Nehemiah now. We just looked at 2 and 3. Now 4, it says, but it came to pass, verse 1, chapter 4, when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? I'm going to say, yes, they will. I believe this church is headed for a great revival of a great church of God. I believe that there's far too many empty places in these pews that we're going to fill these pews twice over again on a Sunday morning and have to build another building. You say, what's that, Pastor? It's the vision God's given me for this work. We're going to have a training college and send out men of God who are going to plant churches in Pennsylvania. We'll not need to plant it where you are, Pastor, but we'll find a place. And in America. And we will plant churches. You see, you heard of MAGA. A lot of people mocked MAGA. Remember when Hillary called MAGA a basket of deplorables? No, she's herself fills a basket of deplorable personalities. That's what America needs less of. But there's another movement, a greater movement than MAGA. It's the revival movement of the Holy Ghost of God. And revival is re-Bible. We need to get back to the old King James Bible, the Word of God. And I'm just saying, when that happens, you check it out in the book of Acts. It started with prayer, and they prayed, and then it went on from there, and they proclaimed the gospel. People got saved, and they will get saved today. And then when people got saved, what happened? Oh, there was persecution. And that's exactly what happened here. There was persecution upon Nehemiah, and they wanted to stop him and stop that work. And he refused to let persecution stop him. Are you going to be part of the work of God here, a church building revival? Well, yes, if you persevere through opposition. You say, Pastor, in your 47 years this October, have you had opposition? Oh my, have I ever had opposition. But I knew that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Did you ever have people leave? Oh yeah, we've had people leave. But I never saw the Lord Jesus leave. Our numbers may have gone down, but we didn't do what we did because of numbers. We did what we did because of the Lord, and he wanted us to do that, and we stayed with it, and the Lord never left us. You remember Paul when he said, Demas hath forsaken me, and this one went over here, and that one went over there, and he said, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me, and he helped me. He helped me to pray. He helped me to preach. And he will continue to do that. I believe that. And if you go through that opposition and you persevere through the hard times, Mom, you'll have some kids you'll be thankful for. Church, we'll have some church that we'll be thankful for. Christian school teacher, you'll have some great results that you'll be thankful for. Stay with it. I'm saying, will you play your part in a church building revival? Yes, if you have a few good men who have the vision of the man of God. And we do have that. Amen, Jesse? We do have that. Number two, yes, if you join with those who build with him, the man of God. And thirdly, yes, if you persevere through opposition. There's one more thing that you need. Yes, if you watch and pray to build. Look at verse 7 through 9 of chapter 4. It says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. But look what it says in verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. I remember we lost our building. And we had to meet in another church building. You can read about it in the foyer out there, our time in the wilderness. We met in a church building that we rented and in my house for Wednesday night meetings in Clark Summit area. It was tough. But the church isn't the building. Church is us. We stayed with it through that time. And God blessed. And I remember we were praying for a new church building because the deacons in the building that we were meeting in, Marion, you know that building, in West Scranton, they had a big meeting, and it was the deacons, and they were upset because we were baptizing people. Can you imagine that in a Baptist church? They were upset. And I was visiting, and I was knocking on doors around the church, and I came to a house with a Catholic lady, and this Catholic lady wasn't saved, and I was trying to give her the gospel. And I found out she was a girlfriend of one of the deacons that was telling us not to baptize people. Can you imagine that? Crazy, huh? And we said, we need our own building. We were in Westside then, and we said, we need our own building. By the way, that building in Westside, Marion, is it there anymore? No, it's not even there anymore. It's gone. But we prayed that God would give us a building. And he gave us this building, and we were able to pay it off with the help of the deacon who was a deacon, and he bought the house next door, and with his down payment, we had the down payment, the whole building was, we had all our furniture, it all, we got this whole building. It was a great thing. We have no mortgage on it now at all, thank God. And last I checked out, we had the building power washed because of a couple in the church that committed to do it. We had the parking lot, some new stuff. Brother Bob and his dad helped us with. We're doing the bathroom, Brother Joe, with the help of a miner that plowed right through the wall, Elgin Gano, that Brother Joe got. He's one of the few good men that sung up here. And this building was, the cornerstone was laid in 1886, and the building was dedicated in June of 1887. I looked this whole history up last night, read about it, Brother Joe. There's a time capsule down there in this building that was laid in 1886. That'd have some interesting stuff in it. But this building was dedicated to God, and it's always been used for that purpose since 1887. And it's still being used, but I believe you could play your part in a church building revival. But you got to build your life on a solid foundation. And you've got to have a few good men that will work with the man of God to build for God. And then others that will work with them. And then we'll have to persevere through opposition like Trump had to do in the political realm to get to the second term and get some things done. You're going to have to persevere. And your ministry's not going to reach everybody. Just get over that and build with what God gives you. I tell people in the bus ministry, you get somebody that's excited about bus, get them to bring their friends. And get them excited and give them some reward. And they'll bring more people. That's who you want to get. And then I'm just simply saying that we need the breath of God. What we need more than anything else, if we're going to shake Scranton and shake America, is a revival of the old-time power of God, the old-time Holy Spirit of God that will, not a fanatical work of the Holy Spirit, just more of the normal work of the Holy Spirit. The same old stuff, just a heap more of it. That's what we need. And that comes through prayer. Thank God for our Revival Seekers prayer meeting. We had, I think, 7 people this past week, 8 people the week before. We have this Revival Seekers prayer meeting. Thank God for prayer meeting on Wednesday night when we pray. And we need to pray for the power and blessing of God. That's what we need today. That's what the old time great churches had in America. Men of prayer. But you're not going to get it. You go running off to public school, some of you kids. You get into Sunday school, church, Christian school, or home school, and you build that thing and stay with it, and you'll be blessed. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about